Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good to have you with us today. And just so you all know, we didn't fire Mark. Glory to God. Mark's still with us. He just was feeling a little bit under the weather. And actually, he's feeling pretty good. But, you know, because of everything that's going on, and we want to, you know, stay doers of the word, even though our word, amen. We want to, you know, and you know, we have a sign on the door that says, please, if you're exhibiting symptoms, please don't come in. It doesn't just mean symptoms of COVID, but just symptoms in general. And so it was better. So everybody can say, hi, Mark. I think he's tuning in or listening to the, if you're out there, buddy, they all just said hi to you. Praise the Lord. I think he's out in the parking lot. I'm not sure. Maybe he's not, but praise the Lord if he made it that far. But glory to God. The reason I brought this up, though, was one, to say that we didn't fire Mark. So everybody's wondering where'd Mark go? But also to say, you know, to point out something that was really awesome. John got a call, I think, yesterday saying, hey, I can't do the worship. Can you do the worship? Now, John hasn't been, you know, he's been, we've seen him over the past year or two or so, you know, being up here when everything was going on. But for the last few months, John hasn't been, amen? And so I'm sure he wasn't planning on coming to do worship, although, you know, the Bible does tell us to be ready in season and out of season. But I wanted to use this as an example of faithfulness, because their faithfulness, the Gitchards' faithfulness, has been incredible over the years. And you know, I remember when I first came to John and I said, hey, John, I said, would you be willing to learn an instrument? Or do you play any instruments? I think he said, no. I said, would you be willing to? And he's like, kind of maybe hesitantly, but I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So he learned how to play an instrument so he could help out in service if needed. Amen. No, praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome that just whatever is needed, whatever is asked, you just do it to fill that need, amen? And you know what's funny is when Marky started off, it was the same exact thing. He didn't know how to play an instrument. When we started this church, I mean, he learned just before, but we had it on our hearts to teach him and get him some kind of pseudo lessons, but not real lessons. And then just before we went out, Reverend Tony, my dad from the Jamestown Church, he worked with him to help him get his craft more honed, amen. And so that's the thing with God, is that, you know, sometimes you'd be called into things that you never thought you'd be called into, but there you are, you know, and just such a blessing. And I love, even as John was playing today, you know, the anointing, you could sense the anointing in it, and that's because it's the hungry heart and the willingness to bring, amen. So thank you, John. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mark, and thank everybody who serves, praise God, because churches just wouldn't be as good. And I'll tell you, it makes a difference in ministering to be able to step into the pulpit after a song versus not, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Today's message is called Steps to Hearing. Glory to God, and we're going to be talking about hearing the voice of God and how to hear the voice of God, amen. The most important thing that we can probably learn as a Christian is how to hear the voice of God. It's the thing that will guide us. It's the thing that will direct us. It's the thing, and when I say thing, I'm not talking about the spirit. I'm talking about the voice, amen. The voice is the thing that will help us and lead us and guide us and open the doors and close the doors. And, you know, when the Bible says that I open doors no man can close, and I shut doors no man can open, praise the Lord. We find out about those doors by the voice of the Lord. Amen. You know, when you, have you ever walked into, I've done this before, so that's why I can speak about it, but there's been times where I've been walking into a building and I thought the door was automatic, but the door was not automatic. The door was closed and it wasn't going to move. And also it wasn't pushing in, but it was pulling out. And so I've walked into the door only to be stopped. Wouldn't it have been handy if there was a voice at that door that said, this door is closed, you can't get in that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and so that's what the voice of the Lord does for us, is the voice of the Lord will direct us and guide us to the places that we need to be, the steps that we need to take every day through life. In every situation, it doesn't matter. There's no situation in our life that's too small that God won't speak about, and there's no situation that's too large that God won't speak about. God desires that we hear his voice first and foremost, amen, all the time. Glory to God. People so often talk about hearing from God, but what is it to actually hear? Amen. You must tune in. You must learn how to tune in to the voice of God. You know, there's of things that we start sensing in our spirits sometimes that isn't the voice of God, or there's things that that isn't the full voice of God, I should say. But how we get into the rest of that is by listening and hearing God and hearing what He has for us to do, or to explain it more fully. I was talking with Pastor Michael. I actually was real blessed to have an impromptu meeting with him this week. And what I mean was, is I was there at the church doing something totally different. And Pastor Scott and I were going to get lunch together, and as we were sitting there, it just was on my heart. Pastor Michael was in the building and he was in a meeting, but he was going to end sometime around lunchtime. And so I said to Pastor Scott, I was like, "Hey, why don't you send him a message and see if he wants lunch too?" And we were getting a good lunch, so he decided to jump in. But it ended up being several hours of a mentoring appointment. Just because I bought lunch, amen. See, sometimes it's good to buy lunch, amen. Glory to God. And I. But one of the things that we were talking about is he was sharing with me some of the things that he's been hearing in the Spirit. Wow, praise the Lord! It's always good to hear when what someone else is hearing, amen. Especially when there's someone who's over you. Glory to God. Maybe not things that he would just share with everybody, but he was sharing some of these things with me. And as he was sharing them, you know, a lot of times he was telling me it was a sentence, or it was a phrase, or it was a word that he got. And he said, "But you got to be careful." And this was a good teaching moment. He said, "You got to be careful not to put your own spin on it." He said, when you hear something, if you hear a little piece of it, that's a piece for you to hold on to, but that doesn't mean it's a piece for you to run with. And see, he said, if you put your own spin on it, you could start thinking that it's something different than what it is. I see this in Christians all the time. Maybe they start hearing the word house in their spirit or something like that. They start picking up the word house or phrase house. Well, I'm going to get a new house. But that's not what that means necessarily. You need to make sure that you know. Maybe he's talking about the house of the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you do that through a relationship with God. But we're going to be talking about steps to hear. I'm going to give you several steps on actually hearing from God, some kind of foolproof methods or proven ways that we know that we can hear from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we're not just going to go by a feeling. Amen? We're not just going to go by what we think is right, what we naturally, you know, our natural bent towards it is, what political party we stand with, what our group of friends is saying, what our family said, what Aunt Sally was always saying to us. We're not going to go by those things. We're going to seek the voice of God. Amen. We're going to desire those things, because that's the only way that we're going to be accurate. Actually, if you don't learn how to seek the voice of God accurately, what you will end up doing is you will end up following spirits. The Bible tells us to test all the spirits, and we know that testing the spirits comes through the word, using the word to test them. And that's why we have to make sure that when we hear things, because the devil can appear as an angel of light. He can speak to us in a way that sounds pleasing, that sounds helpful even. But we want to hear the voice of God, not the voice of the devil. Amen? Praise the Lord. We all know how to hear something, but we need training to learn how to filter. Now, when you were born, most of us were born with the ability to hear. We all understand how we hear, okay? And so a lot of people might be thinking, well, why? I thought the things of God were easy. I thought they were simple. Why do I have to learn how to? Well, the thing, it's not that you have to learn how to hear God. You have to learn how to filter out what's not God. Amen? Because there's a lot of oppositions. We live in a fallen world. There's a lot of oppositions. But God has given us a surefire way to be able to know that we're hearing from Him. Amen? Glory to God. Of course, we're just going to get right into us. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans 10:14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 10:14. And this is step number one. The first step is of hearing the voice of God is to listen. Glory to God. Now let's expand on this a little. Amen. Romans 10:14 says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Glory to God. The first step is to listen. We have to learn how to listen, amen? And we have to learn where we need to listen from. Glory to God, amen? Now, I often use this as an example. The precious sister is sitting in this room today, glory to God. But I remember, and I use this example all the time, there was this one time when we had a church service on a Sunday morning, and afterwards, this precious lady came up to me, and she said to me, she's like, and she had tears in her eyes. I'll never forget this. And she said to me, she said, how could I have been in church all my life and never heard these things? Amen. And what she was relaying to me is she was hearing the truth of the word. In one service, she heard more truth than she had been hearing all her life in church. Amen. Now, is that because Pastor Jeff is just so awesome? I mean, I am pretty cool, but that isn't why. Glory to God. That's not why. It's because I've been trained right. It's because I've been trained how to listen. And when I was trained how to listen, I was able to hear from God. I was able to hear from God in His Word. I realized that the Word of God is God's Word. In other words, the Word of God coming out of His mouth is something I need to listen to. Amen? And glory to God. And I was taught how to minister, that I would deliver the Word of God to people that same way. Amen? But, you know, the reason I brought that situation up is because it's just what it says here. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? See, here's a person who's been in church, as many of us had been in church all these years and didn't ever hear these things. They didn't know what to believe on this subject. They didn't know that God was healer. They didn't know that God was a redeemer. They didn't know that God was provision, that God was provider, that God was, their protection and all these things. They didn't ever see that. So how could they ever call on God truthfully in faith? How could they ever call out to Him without ever hearing? If they had never heard, or they could have never believed in someone they never heard. And the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. The Word of God is meant to be preached. It's meant to be ministered to verbally. The Word of God, it wasn't just enough for us to have the Word of God written, but God also gave us the ministry offices to minister the Word of God and to minister under the unction. And so we have to understand that when there's unction being preached in the pulpit, that's, you know, unction is that it's the inward leading of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, a minister should not be a novice. The Bible tells us this, but the minister should not, the one ministering can't just be somebody off the street that's never been trained before, that's never been taught before, that's never been shown the ways of the Jedi. Amen. Glory to God. You have to go through all that training. There's importance to being studied, to being learned, as we would say, amen. It's important to go through all these things so that you can learn how to minister. When I first came into Family Church, I didn't know the first thing about ministry, although I was called to the ministry. I didn't know I was called, but I was called. But I even though being called, even if I had gotten revelation of it that minute, I was not equipped to go out to minister to people. There has to be a training involved, and that training comes through listening, amen? That comes through listening to the methods or to the places where God has placed us. Now, you all decide where you're called, amen? As I look around here, we have a family group here. I would imagine that all of you have pretty much figured you're called here. And if you're not, I'm going to help you with that. You're called here. Amen. How can I say that? Because you've been here for so long, God isn't just going to bebop you around. Amen. He's called you here. But if He's called you here, He's called you here to get things from this pulpit. That's why I wanted to, so it was so important to me. See, you didn't even know that, but it was so important to me, another man's pulpit, that I wanted to sow into that because that's where I want my seed. That's where I want the seed of the church, is in the pulpit, the part that reaches, that does the work of God, the part where this is representative of what God wants to do in our lives. This structure right here is representative of that. That's why we need to take a certain kind of reverence of it. This sanctuary is a place where God wants to speak to us, and we need to have a certain kind of reverence. Amen? Am I going to have to make this a two-week sermon? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So how will they hear without a preacher? God has placed you in a church with a pastor for a reason. That reason is to speak into our lives. But if you won't listen to what's being, now listen, many of you are sitting there listening, but the question is, are you hearing? Now, see, there's a difference between listening and hearing, or listening and hearing, and listening and not hearing. You can listen, you can be present, but not actually taking the things in. You know, if your mind, we should bring our attention. That's why we only do hour-long services, because anything more, much more than an hour, and people start freaking out. They can't handle it. They got, you know, their bellies start turning and all this stuff, and they got to get out. They got to get somewhere else. I want to sit here any longer. Even though you sit in a movie theater for 2 or 3 hours, praise the Lord, be entertained. We're not entertained by God, amen? And so because we don't have that tickling of the flesh going on in here, amen? It would be weird if I started going around tickling you all just to get you to listen, amen? Here, we're going to stay for 2 hours, tickle time, praise the Lord. No, we're not going to do that, glory to God. That would get me, man, that would get me a swift departure from the ministry, amen? Could get me jail time too, amen? Praise the Lord, glory to God. But don't make me come back there. If you guys push me, maybe we will have to have tickle time. We need to learn the voice of truth versus the voice of deception. The first place that I truly learned how to discern the voice of God, not to hear the voice of God, but to discern the voice of God, was through listening to my pastor. How I learned how to discern what was God and what wasn't. Man, when I came into the church, I came in as a born-again believer. When I came into the church, I came in with lots of ideas. I was sanctified. You know, I was just coming off of my little hiatus being living like the devil. You know what I mean? But I was born again. I had been born again, praise the Lord. I had been born again many years before that. But when I came into church, I had been living like the devil. I had been backslidden, all those things. But when I came in, now, man, I felt sanctified. I felt like I knew. Oh, I got something to say. I got things to do. I got, well, you know, I'd sat down with the, I think one of the first conversations with my pastor that we sat down with, that he sat down to dinner with us, and I informed him that I was a prophet, that I was pretty sure that I was a prophet. And what was funny about that is my wife was sitting there with me, and she had no idea what I was even talking about. So I don't know what it means. It's just like, she was an atheist, praise the Lord. And so that was where we came. So we weren't quite fully sanctified, but through the training, through listening, through learning how to sit and service and receive the things, the first place I learned how to hear God was through my man of God. God did that on purpose to me, for me, amen. Now that doesn't mean that everything he has ever said to me, I have necessarily agreed with. But you know what I find myself doing a lot of times is I find the things that I didn't agree with, I find something I agree with it much more later on when I've gone through something. Amen? And I could give you examples just this morning of things I was thinking about along those lines. So we understand that that God has given us this local body to get to come together, but to hear his voice, to learn how to hear his voice. And why is that important? Because when you go out there, you're not going to have somebody out there guiding you. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. But you need to know how to hear the Holy Spirit. And so that's how we do it. How am I doing? Is it just specifically by the things I tell you? No, when I present to you scripture and revelation on the scripture, things God's been talking to me about, and I share those things with you, and you start making that connection as you read the scripture there in your word. This is why we tell people, bring your Bibles and read along with us when we're doing it, because you need to know where it's at in your scripture. You need to know where, you need to look at your Bible as an important part of your life and to carry it with you and to learn from it, amen, and because God's going to speak to you. Here's the other thing, just about carrying the Bible. Can I share this with you? I try to bring my Bible in some form. I bring a Bible with me every single place I go. Every place I go. And I don't just bring it with me and not use it, amen? But what I do is I always carry it with me because I have expectation in my life that God will speak to me at any given point throughout the entire day, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Doesn't matter if it's Christmas at midnight, does not matter. God will still speak to me if I'm willing to listen. I've learned that. And when God starts speaking to you, you want to go see where he's speaking to you. Amen. And most of the times it always starts with the word, but that's one of the things that I learned from my pastor and from the training that he gave me. You know, it's funny, as I'm sitting here talking about it, I keep looking down at my Bible, and I've got, it's starting to fall apart here. You know, there's different places it's falling apart, and it actually it's making me very sad, and I'll tell you why. This Bible in particular, this is the first Bible that I've really, really, really been excited about. Now, the first Bible that I've had that is this particular flavor of Bible, cherry, I think. But this is... This is at least the second incarnation of this type of Bible that I've had. But one of the things is that I've got so many notes in here. You know, as you look through sometimes there's pages. I said to my wife the other day, there's places in here. I'm bummed because I've run out of place to write, and so I found other places to write in it, you know, these are all the revelations that God's talking to me. And I write them down in my notebook, of course, but I write them down in my Bible. And as I flipped right from where I was, it doesn't matter. We're going to flip to another scripture here anyways. But I've grown accustomed to this, and I see those notes and I go back over them, and God speaks to me again and speaks to me more on the same things. You see, this is all about learning how to hear from God. And so this is a precious, precious thing for me. This is this book here. You could be like, well, I could go buy you a new Bible. Well, that wouldn't be this one. Amen. This is my Bible. Amen. And I put ownership on it. And so we have to understand that there is an importance to hearing. No, I don't want to take a photo of myself. There we go. Glory to God. There is an importance to how we receive. Are we ready to receive? Are we ready to listen? Amen. I am listening for the voice of God everywhere I go all the time, because I know that God will always speak to me, and God continually speaks to me. That has nothing, zero to do with the fact that I'm a pastor. What he speaks to me will have something to do with what I'm doing, but that he speaks to me has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It has only to do that I care to hear from him. And so if you care to hear from God, if you want to have conversation with God, that this is something that it should be commonplace in every Christian's life. And I'm not talking about getting down on your knees and saying the Lord's Prayer or you know, doing this or doing that. I'm talking about actually conversing with God, having God reveal things to you that you didn't know before. Now, God's going to speak the way he speaks. You know, the way God speaks to us is not always the audible voice of God. In fact, I'm going to tell you something, share something with you right now. It is very, very, very rare that God speaks to you in an audible voice. So if you ever hear somebody telling you, God's telling me this, God's, I'm hearing the voice of God, you better be careful, praise the Lord, what you're listening to. Because there's people that are listening to the voice of God, or what they think is the voice of God, and isn't the voice of God at all. Amen? Don't go seeking a voice. When I say listening for God, we don't just go seeking a voice. We go seeking what God wants to say to us and how he wants to say it through the word. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. So the first step is to listen. Amen. Glory to God. The second step, but we need to learn how to discern the voice of truth versus the voice of deception. Amen. Because there is both. And it's not set up that way. It's not that God set it up that way to confuse us or any of that. So let's not get distracted by foolish thinking. Amen. Turn with me to Acts 17. Praise God. Hallelujah. I went to church all my life and never learned how to hear from the voice of God. Never learned how to hear. I never learned how to talk to God by going to church after church after church. Nobody ever talked to me. They wanted to talk to me about all kinds of things, but never how to hear the voice of God. See, any good minister is always going to point you towards God. That's what my job is as a minister, is not to point you towards me. You know, there's certain things, you know, I've even talked with our people, our leaders and stuff like that. There's certain things that certain ministers do that I just won't do, because I don't ever want this church to be about man worship. I don't ever want it to be about, you know, there's obviously a side to honoring the gifts that God has placed in our lives and honoring the people that deliver them. Those are right and good. Amen. I'm not saying that we just throw it and be casual about it either, because I've seen that too. I've seen where, you know, I've seen, especially in a lot of denominations, where pastor is just Joe Bob. You know what I mean? It's just Fred or just Joe, whatever his name is. You know what I mean? Just Jeff. It's not, no, there's like, if there's more to it than God didn't just put Jeff in your life. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So step two is to truly seek him. Amen. Now let's turn to Acts 17, verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Does God care about black, white, red, green, male or female? Nope, we all have the same blood. God don't care about any of that stuff. Praise the Lord. He only cares about, but that's at the same time, that means that we can't look at all these different things as different. We can't look at women as different or lesser than men because they're no different than men in the sense of spiritually, in the blood, amen? The same thing with different colors of skin, different ethnicities and stuff like that. None of that means anything. It's no different to God, amen? The only thing that should define us now is Christ. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and what? Find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Praise the Lord. So God has given, he has predetermined when you would appear on this earth. Amen. And he predetermined, according to the way he designed you, that you would appear in the place, in the body, in the family, glory to God, in the geographical location. He determined all those things that you would appear there because that was the best chance you would ever have to find him. Isn't that amazing? And then it says, though he's not far from any of us, so there's nobody he's far from, but God in his infinite wisdom has determined exactly where the place where you were most likely. Think back to the thing, the moment where you discovered the faith that you now have. Yeah. And God predetermined in your life, he put you there just at that right time or put you on earth at just the right time in just the right season so that you would, you know, we think about this. I think about my Aunt Jean over here. My Aunt Jean was born, well, you have a very specific birthday, right? It was on the fourth month at 4:44 in the morning. Predetermined, guys. Praise the Lord. It was God wanted it to be just so. Hallelujah. Just like that. And he did that so my Aunt Jean would at the right, you know, in the, of course, God is calling to us all the time. But he was doing it to make sure that there was the most opportunity for her to make sure that not just that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grow for and find him. But also that he would be all that he is to us. He wants you, he doesn't just want you to find him, but he wants you to discover who he is to you, who he wants to be to you and in your life, amen? But you have to seek him. You have to be willing to seek him, amen? Not all people seek him. You know, one of the things, I was listening to an apologist, and one of the questions he often gets is when people come to him and say, I've been witnessing to this person over and over and over again, and they come up with all these reasons. They don't ever want to hear the truth. So what can I do? And he always asks a very similar question, and that's that this person that you're witnessing to, are they on a relentless pursuit of truth? Or are they just trying to argue? And the answer almost always is, they're not on a relentless pursuit of truth. There's many Christians that don't really care to know the truth. They're not on a relentless pursuit of knowing what's true. They just want to hear what makes them feel better and let me go on my way. Well, see, we don't preach that way because that's not the way that God ministers. People who desire those things are deceived. But that's the problem. There's a lot of people out there, they say, well, I would believe in God if, but the truth is they never would because they don't really care to know God. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to have to be told anything. They don't want to have to submit to anyone or submit to anything. They just want to do their own thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we understand that seeking God is imperative. We have to have a desire to know God more. That's why I say just little things. When you may not have a great desire to have God speaking to you about everything that's in here. But just because you say, you know, Lord, I'm just going to take this because I'm going to expect you to hear from you. God will stir that desire in you. So even if you don't have the desire, God will stir it in you because if you just show him that you'd be serious, this is what seeking him is. See, seeking him, if you really seek God, it's like you care what God thinks when you're off doing that thing that nobody else is seeing. You care what he thinks. You might be trapped up in sin or something like that, but you still care what God thinks. You want to know the truth of it. Amen? You know, secrecy is never of God. Secrecy is not anything good. That's why I say, always tell people, secrecy in marriages, it's a destruction of marriages. If you want to live in secrecy and live in a marriage, guess what you're going to have? A destroyed marriage. It's that simple. You can't have a marriage that's heaven on earth when you live in secrecy. Because why? God is light. He shines light on all things. What does light do? Light exposes darkness. And anything done in darkness, the Bible says, will come to light. And so people who desire to hide those things or keep those things, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're destructors in marriages. Amen. And you think about it, there's nothing good that comes out of secrecy anyways. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so God has placed us in the right place, the right time to hear from him, to find him. Amen. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That's Jesus. Amen. In all him all things consist. The word consist means be put together, adhere together. So all things come together in him. The pieces of your life, if you have a shattered and broken life, they all come together in him. This is where all things consist, is in him. This is why we need to seek him. We need to seek God. We need to seek Jesus. We need to seek that relationship in our lives. We have to have a desire to actually hear from him. And by doing, like I was saying before, doing little things like bringing your Bible with you or having it even on your phone, but not just having it on your phone on the last page. I have it on the first page of my apps. Amen. My Bible. So I can go to it right away. Why? Because God may speak to me at any moment. And I have that expectation. I have that desire. And he does because of that. Amen. And you just watch and see. Like even your notes, if you go, you just carry your notes with you. You take your notes from church. If you take notes at church and you go, you take them with you throughout the week and you look back over them and you say, hey, you know, this is what God was saying to me this week. That shows God that you care enough. He'll speak to you about more things. But see, a lot of people, they hear the service and then it's done with them. They don't ever think about it again. They never listen to it again. I've been guilty of that myself. Amen. But in Jesus, all things consist or are brought together or put together. So all things have their wholeness in Christ. Amen. And this is why we need to seek him. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go on to step three. Talking head. Oh, I'm sorry. Taking heed. If you see taking heed written down, it looks an awful lot like talking head. Hallelujah. That was funnier you're giving me credit for. I don't know. Maybe you're sleeping today. Turn me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Okay. So we must talk head. Ephesians 5. We are going to take heed. Oh, I got to fight Ephesians. There we go. Ephesians 5. We're starting verse 15, verse 15, read through 21, amen? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, I'm going to read this in the Amplified because it brings out the juice a little more, amen? Ephesians 5:15-16 in the Amplified. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully. And worthily and accurately. That's what circumspectly means. It means accurately. So live purposefully and worthily and act accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. So wise, sensible, intelligent people live accurately. You know this, that most millionaires are not, they don't fall into it. Most millionaires that are made by living purposefully or living accurately. Most successful people in life don't just fall into it. They do it by living accurately or wisely, amen, intelligently. Look at this, verse 16 in the Amplified. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. So they make the most of every opportunity, amen? They take heed to what they're doing. Walking accurately is taking heed to the path that you're going to ensure that you walk accurately. Are these steps I'm taking, are these right? You notice all these, we're talking about hearing from God, but all these things are things that we do. You notice that. Like, God will speak to us, but he's not going to speak to us if we're not living right. He isn't going to speak to us if we're not living accurately. If we're just making up stuff as we go and just kind of bebopping around, doing our own thing, God ain't going to be speaking to you about stuff. You may hear the voice of, you may hear a voice, but it isn't going to be the voice of God. Amen. We want the voice of God. We need to live accurately. What's amazing about the way God works is that if you just, this is, you have to be perfect at this stuff. But as you determine in your heart, you know what? This is the direction I want to go. I want to go in the direction I hear from God. So I'm going to start down this road best that I can today. I might be a complete, but the best that I can do today, I'm going to live accurately, the best that I know how, the best that I see in the Word, the best that I'm taught, glory to God. You see, you start pulling all these things together, the best that I can, and you know what? God will start speaking to you right then. But he's not waiting for you to be perfect. He's just waiting for you to have the right heart, the heart that says, you know what? I want to know right. I want to be right, not wrong. I don't want to live wrong anymore. I don't want to live deceived anymore. I tell my family all the time, we were having this discussion on the way home from church last night. I go before the Lord all the time. The thing that I refuse the most is to be deceived. And I'm going to tell you something. The minute that you think that you're not deceived, you probably are. That's why you have to just assume that you are always deceived in of your own self and your own thoughts. That doesn't mean that you sit there and worry all the time. But I just go before the Lord. I'm constantly going before the Lord. Lord, is this accurate? Is this right? And because I ask him, guess what? He'll tell me. Do you know that there's people, we've talked about this, there's certain people in our churches that I can't say certain things to because I know that they won't receive it. And I know that they won't receive it because of the way that they've talked to me or the way that they converse with me or the way that they receive me as pastor. There's certain people, I know I can say certain things, I can go so far and that's it. There's certain people that sit in my congregations that I can't speak the whole truth to. Now, that doesn't mean I lie to them. It just means I can't tell them everything. I mean, it means I can't, and the Bible tells me that. Don't lord over people's lives, right? I have that direction. So I can't just go and break into someone's life and say, hey, you're doing wrong. See, you can even say it. There's even been people that have said to me, please tell me when I'm doing wrong, but then they act differently when I tell them they're doing wrong. So I know I can't tell them they're doing wrong. Praise God. And now unless the Lord comes on me and specifically says, hey, go, I'm warning you, go tell them, then of course I will. But that's an absolute truth. Isn't that, I mean, that boggles your mind. I know what you're sitting there thinking. That me? It might be. Well, how do I fix that? By saying, I won't be deceived. I won't be deceived by me. I want correction. And you don't do it by telling me. You do it first by going before the Lord and say, Lord, correct me, guide me, do whatever you got to do to help me in my life. Praise the Lord, I will take your counsel. You start there. And then you be open to the word that's being preached to you. You ask questions when, praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to go back to this. We do a faith fix every single week. My wife and I put one out. We have the same few people only that ask questions. I can't believe in a church of 50-some people that only two or three people have questions. I can't believe that. And if that's the case, there's something wrong with you. Because why would you not, you know what that means, or really what it means is, you're not spending enough time with God to have any questions. That's the sad truth of it. Or you're just not asking them. It's not hard to ask a question, amen? That's what the gifting's for. What do you receive? I never sit before a minister, any minister, and not draw everything I possibly can out of them. I don't give a rip what color they like. I don't care what kind of food they like. I only to go to a restaurant so I can sit there and get everything I possibly can. That's a hungry person. That's why I get fed. But see, some people, they want to sit with you. This is what we talk about. Oh, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about that. You have no questions? Ask questions. Get desire to know more from God. Praise the Lord. I get what you, and there's times like listen, we've all been put on the spot before, you know, where we've been in a situation where it's like, you had questions and then you get before there and before somebody that you could ask the questions to, and then you forget what the question was, you know what I mean? And I know how that works, and sometimes you're not going to come before somebody, especially if you're with, like a pastor, you're with them often and stuff like that, you're not going to have maybe 50 questions all at once. I get that. But as you study the word, there should be things that speak to your heart and say, you know what, there's something more that I want. Now, that's not a rebuke to get everybody all feeling bad about themselves. It's just the truth. How much do you want from God? Do you want to hear from God? The first place is you go to the methods he's given you and you start drawing on those. Because one of the things, I don't know how many times I've ended up preaching entire messages based on one question that somebody asked me in a mentoring appointment. I think that happened a couple weeks ago with Josh. He's out tending to the baby, amen? And other people as well. Actually, there was a question that was sent in on via for a Faith Fix that ended up being a message. Even though I answered the question on the Faith Fix, I was like, man, this would be good to preach too. So praise the Lord, that's the way that we were led. So we have to understand, drawing on those gifts, you have to, we're talking about living accurately, taking heed. You want to know the word. You want to know the truth. You want to know more, amen? Verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I went down a road. I'm not going to be able to fill you in on all of it, but I'm going to give you this verse to you in a different translation because I found something the Lord was dealing with me with that was pretty interesting. Ephesians 5:18 it's the Young's literal translation. It says, and be not drunk with wine, which is dissoluteness, but be filled in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Dissoluteness means lacking restraint. What the scripture is talking about it's talking about how we fill ourselves. And using the example of drunk with wine, because we know that drunkenness, when you get drunk with alcohol, what is it? It's when you've gone in excess. Like you could have a sip of wine or a sip of beer and not get drunk, right? Most people would agree with that. I can't think of anybody who would actually get drunk from a sip, unless it was like high proof something or whatever. But we know that when somebody is filled with wine, that they, I went back in my former life, in my party days, I would get filled with some kind of alcohol and be just reckless and ridiculous. Well, it's because that's what I was full of. That's what was coming out. And so this scripture is giving us literally the comparison of being whatever we're filled with in our spirit is what's going to come out. Amen. And so if we're filled with in excess with things, garbage things, things that are not right, we're going to live accordingly. We're going to have these things come out of us. Amen. You can't be a Christian who never spends time in the Word and then expect to be a good Christian. It's impossible. You can't be a Christian that never spends time hearing from God. Never. And expect to be a good Christian. It's impossible. These are impossibilities. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we have to take heed to these things. We have to consider what we're putting in. You know, it's not wrong for a Christian to listen to a secular song on the radio. But if all you listen to is secular music, something wrong in that. Especially some of the secular music that's coming out today. There's some awful things out there, but not just today. There's some old things. You know, there's some old things. That some of the bubblegum music from the 50s, there's some of those songs that actually when you listen to them, you know, you remember I don't want to get anyone singing it in their heads, but you remember the good old song, Run Around Sue and things like that, or I'm a Wanderer, stuff like that. There's different songs that talk about just jumping, hopping from sack to sack. That ain't good either, even though they weren't saying sack to sack, but it's still not good to live that way, amen? And so you don't want to be filling yourself with that garbage. We have to be mindful of what we're listening to. Is it wrong to watch TV? Absolutely not. Is it wrong to watch movies? Absolutely not. But you have to follow your spirit, and you have to be considering what you're putting in. Is it wrong to watch commentaries on this thing that's going on or that? No, not absolutely not. But watch what you're putting in. You want to take heed to those things that you're filling yourself with, because if you fill yourself with garbage, then all that's going to come out is garbage. Nobody looks at a person who's been hammering back shots at a bar. Nobody looks at the stupid things they do and say, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. No, you knew it was coming. Yeah. You knew what was happening. In fact, we all know. We've all had experiences probably, or most of us have had experiences at some point where we saw somebody drinking. Maybe it was at a wedding or something like that. We just sit there and going, oh, no, this ain't going to be good. It's not going to be good. Why? Because we know that they're filling themselves with garbage. Christian, know what you're filling yourself with. Yeah. Well, God wants us to enjoy this life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying this life. But if your whole goal is enjoying this life, guess what? You're filling yourself with the wrong thing. You're filling yourself with the things that are opposite of what God has. And so you can't live accurately. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it's lacking restraint, dissoluteness, which is lacking. So it compares that to being filled in the Spirit. Praise God. I do not believe, and some people think that, and this is for some of you might not even know what I'm talking about. Some people think this is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I do not believe that that's what this is talking about. As I study out, I see it in the Word, that word Spirit is the same word that's used for Spirit for all kinds of things, amen? But in the context, I don't believe that it's comparing, what I'm saying is we can't use this as an excuse to be drunk in the Spirit. I'm not saying that's completely wrong or unscriptural, but I don't think that the Scripture is one that you can go point to and say that. Amen? But be filled in the Spirit. There's several translations that say that, and I just thought that was pretty interesting. Amen? But anyways, moving on. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen? Now, psalms literally could be a reference to the psalms in the Bible, speaking biblical things to one another, you know. Some people like to say that. Actually, the King James Version says, speaking to yourself. But this scripture almost is repeated in another set of scriptures. I think it's in Colossians, and it says speaking to one another as well. And so it doesn't do good to just speak to yourself. It's good. It's a principle to speak to yourself, but we should also be speaking out these things. Amen. Speaking to each other, psalms, singing, spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's key, and this is going to lead us into our next point when we get there, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Notice that's part of the direction is submitting to one another in the fear of God, the reverence of God, amen? If you are to live accurately, you cannot be full of the wrong thing. You were given choice, listen to this, you were given choice, but not to just fulfill your desires, but to choose to follow Him. See, we always talk about, well, I got free will, we got free choice. We talk about things like that, but people generally talk about it in the wrong context. Our free will is not to just go live however you want to live. Your free will is so that you choose to follow Him. That's what it's for. That's why God gave it to you. It's not your free will. Praise the Lord. We have a precious young lady over here, Savannah. We're gonna pray over here her before we go. Amen. And we got to do this pretty quick, get to that point pretty quick here. But she's about to go away to Bible school in California, amen? And, to do that, there was some sacrifices that their whole family had to make. In fact, Brother Scott is making a sacrifice, driving all her stuff out there right now. He's on his way. So, Brother Scott, we love you. We know you're listening. Glory to God. And we prayed for him and all that stuff. And we know he's going to be blessed on his way, amen? Glory to God. And she had to make a lot of sacrifices to be able to do that. And even some of the things is, you know, it's not an accredited college, so to speak. So she's not going to have a degree from there, so to speak, when she's done. But it's a college that she knew, it's a thing she knew she had to do to be in the plan of God. Amen. It's important that you are full of the right thing. It's important that you know the right thing. Because here, she's going to go, she's going all the way across the country, not to scare her, but she's not scared anyways because she knows how to do it all and she's going to a good place, amen. But she's going out there and she's going to, she's made this decision, but it's been made. She had opportunities to do many different things. But to do the right thing was what was important. And because of that, and because her family supports her in that, they'll all be blessed because of that, amen. You were given choice. Her choice could have been to go do, she could have gone to any college and done well and gotten a good job and all this stuff. But here she chose to go in a way that maybe is less spelled out in the natural world. Amen. And I wanted to use that example because there's a choice of following Him. She's been given free will. She could do whatever she wants to do. She could be a good Christian and never go away to a Christian Bible school. Amen. Just like any of us could in any of the things that we do. So we have to make sure that we choose accurately, choose right. Praise the Lord. One thing we have to understand is not our job to fulfill our desires. It's God's job. And so when you try to fulfill your own desires, what you are doing is His job. And what happens when somebody comes in and does the job you're supposed to do? You don't like it, do you? It's annoying. But that's what every Christian is doing all the time when they're living for themselves. They're running around trying to, God says, I'll bring it to you. Just you follow me. Just said, follow me. Don't do all your own stuff. Just follow me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to end this real quick. And step number four, we're not going to turn to it for the sake of time. Write it down if you want to look at it later. 1 Peter 5:5, one scripture. This is the fourth step is submission. Amen. Can we pull that up there? Praise God. Hallelujah. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Oh, ouch. Hallelujah. You don't do your own thing. You submit yourself to your, what does that mean? It means you ask people. You don't get to make all the decisions yourself. You ask people that are smarter than you. You ask people that are doing it better than you. Amen? And then you listen to their advice. Be submissive to one another. You know what? I'll tell you this too. If somebody has a proven track record of a bad marriage, I will never, I don't care what level they are over me, will never take that advice in marriage. However, maybe they have advice for me in something else. I need to be wise enough to learn how to hear God. But if they don't have a good family life, you know what I mean? If their kids don't love them, want nothing to do with them, I'm probably not going to counsel with them on how to have a family. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we look at the fruit of things. But you need to be, you do still need to be submissive to one another and to be clothed with humility. For God, look at this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It is pride to do things your own way, to insist that they have to be done your way. Now listen, if you're a parent and you have a household, yes, your kids got to do things your way. That's not pride. That's called intelligence. Amen? That's called intelligent parenting. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You make the rules. You decide how to go, how it's going to go. Amen. But in a household, there are many voices. My wife and I have rules in our household, but our voices don't outweigh each other's. Our voices work together. Amen. So we understand that. But we submit to one another in that area. You have to know where to submit and where not to submit. Obviously, a 15-year-old kid coming up to me going to give me some advice is not going to change my mind. I've had that happen several times. I've had young kids, teenagers, try to minister to me. Listen, teenagers, I don't care how much you've studied. I don't care how much. You don't know more than me. You don't. That's right. And you don't know more than your parents either. Praise the Lord. You just don't. You don't get that until after a period of time. Amen. Studying a certain thing. Proven track record. But submission is key to hearing from God. Why? Because he resists the proud. Gives grace to the humble. Grace is his ability. He gives it to those who humble themselves. I don't know everything. I tell people all the time, I don't even know why God made me a pastor. I don't know anything. You know why he made me a pastor? Because I admit I don't know anything. Why can he use me? Because I admit all the time, I don't know. I ain't got it. Praise the Lord. I don't ever claim to have anything except for what's from God. Nothing. As a pastor, I have zero pride in that area because I know that I have nothing. But when I stand before people, I stand confidently. Why? Because I know what he's put in me. Amen? And so there's a difference. Amen? But God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So without submission, we can't get there. Amen?